So three readings this morning. One from the prophet Isaiah, and then one from the book of Hebrews, and our gospel lesson from Luke. Funny with the Hebrews reading, I hope you'll listen, is it feels like an outlier. So I hope you'll listen for the Word of God within our readings. Before we go to our readings, let us go to God in prayer. Will you say with me the prayer of illumination as printed in our bulletin? Your Word, O God, reveals your Word for our will for our lives. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, give us each the wisdom to attend your call every day and make us ready to hear and obey. Amen. So from the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, starting in verse 1 through 7. The Song of the Vineyard. I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut out a wine press as well. He looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. Now you dwellers in Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more could have been done for my vineyard than I have done for it? Then I looked for good grapes. Why did it yield only bad? Now I will tell you what I am going to do in my vineyard. I will take away its hedge. It will be destroyed. It will break down its wall. It will be trampled. I will make it a wasteland, neither pruned nor cultivated, and briars and thorns will grow there. I will command the clouds not to rain on it. The vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah are the garden of his delight. And he looked for justice but saw bloodshed, for righteousness but heard cries of distress. Now reading from Hebrews, it's chapter 12, verses 32 through 40. Chapter 11, 29 through chapter 12, verse 2. There we go. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they may gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us so that only together with us they would be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. In our gospel lesson, chapter 12, verses 32 through 40, do not worry. Easier said than done. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed ready for service and keep your lamps burning like men waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or the third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. These have been the readings for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God indeed. As I said, the Hebrews reading this week felt like an outlier. By faith, the litany goes. By faith, the Israelites walked through the Red Sea. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Rahab was brave, and Gideon defeated the Midianites. But by faith, lions' mouths are shut, and even flames of fire did not consume God's faithful. Therefore, we too ought to live by faith. Remembering the witness of this cloud of people and God's power bestowed upon and around them. Sounds pretty straightforward, right? Any questions? Yeah. The Hebrews reading for this Sunday reinforces our declining energy. For working for the Lord, our creeping despondency about the way things are, our growing helplessness with each news story of hate, of violence, of natural disaster, of human-made tragedy. Keep the faith, the writer of the Hebrews text shouts. Remember, look at all God has done, and know God still works in your age and through you. I mean, it's such an encouraging word, and it's welcome. It's even needed. But what do we do when we put this chorus of faith, both human and God, beside the reading of Isaiah and Luke? Despondence marks the prophet's story as God laments, "What more could I have done for them that I have done for my people?" Oh. You just hear the deep breath. God criticizes the response over the over the top generosity, right? Shown through attended and nurtured and beloved vineyard destroyed by the very ones gifted with it to enjoy and share. I mean, this text is applicable to us this week as well, to us in this community as well. As we often hear talk about farms, right? We see subdivisions partitioned where farms used to be. We see fields where it once produced produce or crops and had those spreading landscapes that are now subdivisions. And we see it on a more global setting as well, where war brings forth suffering, a flood of deadly acts committed upon the perceived other. Now God in this Isaiah text runs out of patience. And this basically says, all right, folks, time's up. Now you can hear the tone. You all know that as parents, as people who discipline perhaps children with your voice, you get that parent voice, right? I mean, after the first and second readings of these lectionary texts for this week, I thought, well, shoot, who wants to preach that, right? God's done saying, look around. Look around my creation. Survey your communities. What more could I have done to resource, sustain, equip, and care for you in order that you might be a light to the nations, might show forth my character of compassion and generosity, and participate in my gift of shalom? And what have you done? What have you left undone? By faith, in the name of faith, you have created bloodshed and inflicted pain on all that I love. All right, folks, time's up. So I said, okay, next reading, please. Perhaps let's see what the psalmist says to say. Let's look for half. This is too hard. For the Gospel of Luke, that's where the hope is this week. It doesn't, when the first reading, it doesn't grant a lot of respite for this Sunday. It's right in that same niche as the Hebrews and the Isaiah readings. I mean, wow. I have come to bring fire to the earth, and as a matter of fact, I wish I'd already lit the match and put it to the kindling. In all our talk in the biblical verses of unity and reconciliation, Jesus inserts this word of radical division. It says families will split up. Father against son, daughter against mother. By faith, your closest ties will be cut, and animosity will grow. A time will come, a time has come, when you must choose between loyalty to Jesus Christ and all the other ties that bind us together. I recently learned that the idiom blood is thicker than water. I learned about that. It's shortened. It's a shortened version. The blood of the covenant is thicker than the water of the womb. So flipping the script on the more modern version, Jesus warns his hearers that following him to the baptism he must endure requires disciples to prioritize nothing over loyalty to the God Most High. And there will come a time when that choice is demanded. To hide a Jewish family or protect my own. To work for justice for the oppressed or enjoy the privileges of their suffering that is afforded to me, to speak up and risk my job, my security, my dearest and deepest relationships, or just to remain silent. And perhaps the time of choosing is upon us. As odd as the inspiring litany in Hebrews themes this Sunday, it is in fact an illustration of making a choice for God, no matter what the consequences are. Hebrews genealogy of the faithful demonstrates what living rightly in God's vineyard, God's creation, what it looks like. However, it's an important note that the list in Hebrews begins with God's act of parting the Red Sea. The Israelites' faith did not create the dry land, but it did propel them to walk across, certainly under the compulsion of the Egyptians after them. There's nothing that God doesn't do to set us up for faithful action. The question is for us, is what will we choose to do by faith? What will we risk? What words will we speak to or refrain from saying? Well, where will our loyalty be? How will that loyalty be made manifest in the world? Which side of the divide of wealth and opportunity, prosperity, or safety will we stand? And these are not theoretical questions. Not now. Not today. There are lives at stake with these questions. We are right now in this church this morning surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Some known to the world and some no doubt only known to us. We heard Rahab and Gideon, Mary, Paul, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, even Martin Luther King. Well, we have Mother Teresa. But I also think about my art teacher. His name was H.O. Davis. And he taught me how to see beauty in the earth in everything. To look at things. Look in and through and be in things. I think about my seventh grade civics class and Luann Palmer. And later, she was a very formative teacher for me, but later was the mayor of the town that I grew up in. And to her personal cost, she wanted to be in that elected. She wanted to live into that. She really felt that that was her calling. But by faith, these witnesses, we know of other witnesses. You all know of other witnesses that sit perhaps with us in the pews today. Or perhaps they used to. And they're still witnessing to us. By faith, these witnesses worked diligently in the vineyard God planted, recognizing God intended it to be a place of life and peace for all people. All people. Every disciple and every congregation faced the choice of living by faith, trusting God's power, recognizing God's abundant provisions and grace, and risking the consequences of unmitigated loyalty to the one who loves the world, or living for self alone. For a tightly defined tribe, mistakenly thinking that they're the ones who draw the boundary lines and wreaking havoc, not only for others, but ultimately for themselves and their tribes too, because eventually God will say, "All right, folks, time's up." Jesus says we should think about the future, especially our future with God, but he also advises us to think about present time, as I said to the kids this morning. He advises us to be aware of what's going on around us right now. Notice things, the way the sun shines through the rain, causing a rainbow. The way the flower grows, the way the moonlight shines perhaps through your window in the living room. And you notice a pattern of stars and how a stone feels in your hand after it's been out of the sun. Or even perhaps how fresh bread smells after baking. And how good it feels to be hugged by your mom and dad. Noticing and being grateful for God's gifts is a way of living our lives to the fullest. It's how we live in the present time. So this very day, this day, we can be aware and be thankful for the beauty and the love that is around us. Living the life that God has planned for each one of us. Because folks, time's up. The time is now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.